my favourite Yarra. I know it was the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. For the blood,
right.
And if it hadn't been for the cross, she'd still be in her sins.
Right.
But because Jesus come and died upon the cross and rose again from the dead to give us the victory,
amen.
It was the blood, it had to be the blood. Whenever God spoke to Moses, all the things of the tabernacle had to be sprinkled by blood. When Jesus rose from the dead, whenever he died on the cross, he took his blood up there. The veil was rent. The way into the holiest of holiest was made because of the shed blood. You know that blood's tonight? That blood's on the mercy seat.
Amen.
Praise God tonight for the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You just forgive me here for a minute. I think I'll take this coat off because any other time I come up here and I keep the coat on, I got you think somebody threw a bucket of water down. So I'll just start to cook after. I'm not going to dope for bread. I'm not going to come down to any of this. Amen. But just maybe tonight, I'd like to preach an hour long sermon tonight. Yes, you're looking at me, aren't you? But anyhow, well, maybe not at all, but a bit of it anyhow. Praise the Lord. And it's a right wee long reading, so I'm not going to ask you to stand for reading, but while we're standing, maybe we could ask the Lord to come tonight and to bless us. And
amen.
I believe he's blessed us already for the good news we've heard and different things.
Amen.
Father God, we bow tonight in thy presence. And Lord, we know that in your word you said, where there were two or three were gathered in your name, there you were. And Lord, we just believe tonight that you're here tonight. Pray, Father God, you'll grant wisdom tonight to the preaching of thy word. We pray, Lord, that you'll take the words and strengthen thy people with them tonight. For when, O Lord, thy words are meat indeed. Lord, you said, except you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you have no part with me. Father, help us tonight. And O God, in the precious name of Jesus, we take authority over every spirit that would raise up against your people tonight. Every hindrance, everything, Lord,
yes, Holy Ghost.
We cast it down tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we pray, Lord, for that quickening power, that power that raised you from the dead,
oh, thank you, Jesus.
To come in our service tonight,
yes, Jesus.
And to move upon our hearts in the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I will just turn to our text in a wee moment or two. Praise the Lord. This is a good Bible, but I say it's very easy to read it, and I suppose that's why I use it, but there's only one wee thing about it. it's sort of hard to find the places in it, because the pages is very thin in the study. You could turn a page and you have two torn. But nevertheless, I was thinking this evening, some years back, away back a good lot of years ago, I had went to hear people that just had come home. I think it was the Congo they come from. They were called McAllisters. Now it would have been in the early 60s. And there were missionaries out there. And they just escaped with their lives. And you might think today that martyrs were back in the times of the in the back in Hanley's time and back in the different times, but there's reason there's martyrs has been recently. Only people are not aware of it. For the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a girl that come from outside their ma. I think her name was called Ruby Gray. I think that was her name. I might be wrong in saying that, but anyhow, they actually fed her to the crocodiles. They cut her up and fed her to the crocodiles. And now you know, where we're here tonight in Scarborough, we're not too far from a place called Mountain Lodge, really. And I can remember going to Mountain Lodge in the early times, we'd been in the 60s. And I can remember going to Mountain Lodge. And I can remember the meetings in Mountain Lodge. And I can remember the Spirit of God moving in those services, where there was discerning of spirits and word of knowledge. And I also can remember the Spirit of God speaking and saying that there'd be martyrs in that place. And later on, some years later, the IRA walked into that hall and shot so many people in that hall. And you know, they sealed their testimony. They sealed that testimony with their lives. And you know, we have a privilege tonight to be able to come to this hall. We have a privilege tonight to have an open Bible. And you know, there's coming a day we mightn't have allowed that privilege. You know, people think that's maybe only nonsense, but it's not nonsense. There's coming a day when we mightn't be allowed it, and things could change, and change very quick. But you know tonight, you know, sometimes I want to try tonight if I can help you, if I can encourage you in God's word tonight, and if I can take the word of the Lord tonight, and strengthen you by God's word. If I can sort of present that word tonight and the Holy Ghost will come and help me to do it, then it will strengthen you and help you. And help you to receive the things of the Lord. Now God always honors his word, because he has said that his word will not return unto him void, but will accomplish that wherein he sends it, to prosper in the thing that he sends it to do. And we know tonight that God watches over his word. He says not one dot, not one jot. Not even a dot or a jot. But that word, he says, is forever settled in heaven. And we know tonight that if God ever done anything once, he can do it again.
Amen.
And God wants you to be encouraged tonight. He wants you to be strengthened tonight. And for you to be strengthened in your walk with the Lord, you need to read God's word. You need to seek the face of God. You need to be before God in prayer. And you need to start to get into the habit where you'll read and where you'll pray. Now, you don't have to read the whole Bible in one day or one week or one year. But if you take a certain amount every day and meditate in God's word and meditate in those things, you'll get stronger. And you know, sometimes you'll be wondering, will God do this for me, or will he do something else for me? But you know, you have to have your faith based on the word of God. The Bible says that how shall they hear without a preacher? And how will a preacher be accepted by sent? And that word comes forth for to give you strength and to give you power. You know, I think it must have been about, what would you say, what, January, 1964, I was under conviction maybe for almost a whole year before, till I come to the place in my life that I couldn't work. It was bad enough at night time, I couldn't sleep. And for nights I never slept. And I would want to sleep in the morning when I would have to get up. And because of the Spirit of God moved on me in such a way. And then it got to be, it was like that in the daytime. And I wasn't in any meetings. I wasn't anywhere really. But God, the Spirit of God moved on me. I had a New Testament I'd started to read in it. And I wasn't a greatly reader. I'm not a greatly reader yet. But I sort of read, and I read bits of the Old Testament, and some of it I understood and some of it I didn't understand, but I read bits of it. But there was one thing that I began to realize, more so than anything. I realized I was a lost man. I realized that if I died, I would go to hell. I realized that if I died in the state that I was in, there's no way I'd ever go to heaven. I was a sinful man. But as time went on, and this particular day I can remember it well, I went to do a bit of work. I couldn't do the work. So I thought I would sit down for a while. I couldn't sit. So I thought I'd walk about for a while. So I walked about for a while. And then I wanted to sit. And then I wanted to walk. And you know, I was a young man, I went to a Presbyterian church. Now, if you have a Presbyterian background, or not, I'm not criticizing the Presbyterians, but the Presbyterians today are not what the Presbyterians used to be, believe you me. But I want to say something to you tonight. I went to that church, and the minister in that church, we went to Sunday school. We went in the Sunday school, and we had a Sunday school class, and we learned what they call the shorter catechism. A lot of stuff learned from Rome, but that's besides the point. But anyway, we learned it anyway. I thought it was right. I didn't know really any better. And I went on ahead, and to come then, they had a class of what they called communicants. And in that class of communicants, you would attend the monks for to be instructed in the catechism. And now, I don't want to get off the subject tonight, but this man, I'll not name any names, he was a great man in church history. And you know something, I like church history. And I love to hear history about the Bible. Now you could know all the history about the Bible. You could hear history and lectures about history from now to the saying this to the cows come home. I could listen it all right, but it wouldn't save you. Now we're not saying it would, and we're not. But the thing about it, you could know all that and not be born again. And you see, the main thing of God's word, Jesus Christ came into this world for one purpose, and for one purpose only. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. Paul says, "This is a faithful saying, unworthy of all expectation, Jesus Christ came to save sinners." I'm glad for that tonight, that he come to save sinners. But anyhow, let me just go on here a wee bit. We want to say these questions, and this man had given me a prayer book. And out of this wee black book, it was like similar size of a good notebook. And in this book was certain things written down, and quotations from the Psalms, which were very good. And there was a lot of prayers wrote there. And how you said your questions was, they asked you maybe, could I ask you half a dozen questions from the catechism? Or they could have asked you Bible verse. Or they could have done that there with you, and then they took you into the room. You went to the room, and the minister, it was just you and the minister in the room. You weren't going to be embarrassed with anybody standing up. Somebody wasn't going to ask you to stand up to give a testimony or anything. There was no such thing as standing up to give a testimony. For most of the people in the place didn't have any testimony. Didn't really know much about the saving power of the Lord. And them things there. And I used to say to my father, they know no more about the gospel than the cow out in the field knows about the gospel. And my father used to say to me, that's a desperate thing to say. And you know, in a land, when people that come from a persecution, you know, the early Presbyterians, they come from a persecution. They were persecuted in Scotland. They were stripped naked. They were driven to the lakes. They were piked. They were slaughtered. They were killed. In this country, at the River Bann, they were driven to the River Bann, down into the River Bann. So they were in 1641. You never hear it. They don't like to talk about it. They don't want you to know anything about your Protestant heritage. They want to put you under the jackboot of Rome and to keep you under the false prophecy. But God sent a prophet. I'm glad of that. Hallelujah. You know, Rome feared him. They fear the truth. This is the Roman millennium now. People say about there, some man said they were living in the millennium. Well, he said go down to the zoo and go to the lamb, find out if you're living in it or not. But that's besides the point. But this is their millennium. And if you want to think about it, I want to say this to you tonight. They have a chief pontiff. And that pontiff's a pope. And he's instead of the Holy Ghost. Now, we don't have any pontiffs or priests in here tonight. Amen. Our headship is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And we want to be led by the Holy Ghost. But I have got this prayer book. And I started to read from this prayer book, and I would read prayers of this prayer book. And I would read them, and I would try to sort of do what was right, but I couldn't do what was right. I'd still find myself, I would try, I would maybe do all right for a week or two. I maybe would do all right for a week or two, and then the time would come, you would go to the town with your mates, you'd go to the pictures, and then it got to be you would go to the pub for a beer. And then eventually you'd have a beer or two, and then you got into the habit, you went every evening that you went for a beer. And it's very easy to get caught along. And you know, people have said to you, oh, you're a young man, you're a young woman. You're time enough. Gary said about the man saying the three things was, you're all right, you have plenty of time. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, remember, Ecclesiastes, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil times come not. Seek God while he is to be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And call on God while God's near. You know, God might speak to you once, he might speak to you twice, and he might speak to you thrice, and he might never speak to you again. You know, I remember meeting a man. He said to me, are you born in a jail? I said, I am. He says, I used to go along to gospel meetings. He says, I remember being in one meeting, or I loved to stay to talk to the man. But he said, I fought it off. He says, I never had any urge, never again, even to go to a meeting. He says, it never bothers me. Boy, I tell you, that's something. That's something. You know, God might strive with you. And God strives with me, and I thought I could pray a prayer in one of these books. And that would do me all right. And there used to be an old minister up and down our road. He was a Church of Ireland man. And you know, I used to hear him in this strange, I used to hear him like, I used to think he was talking in a foreign language. And I think he had been in India. And some of the people said he had got shell-shocked, and that was why he went into this language. He would come along the road, and he could come along the road, and the next thing he would take off in this. And he would take off in this. Well, you know, whenever I think back of it, it was like speaking in tongues. And then I remember years later meeting a man, and he asked me, did I ever know him? I said, I did. He says, you know, that man was saved and was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I said, why, I never knew that. But I said, I used to hear him speaking in this strange language and I couldn't understand it. Oh, he said he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And all. Well, I used to see this man going down the road, and I thought to myself, I would go and approach him. I'd tell him how I felt, and I'd talk to him and see what guidance he could give me. or if he could help me. And every time I would go down, I would find us, they had put a wire fence along the bottom of one of our fields. And I would get to the fence, but boy, I never could get over it. And I couldn't get the heart to shout at him or shout at him to stop, or I couldn't get the nerve to approach him. So we never did approach him. But this particular day that I'm telling you about, you know, I always tried to visualize God. I used to think of God was like an elderly man with a long grey beard. And I used to think that Jesus Christ was like a younger man. Now this was, I'm only telling you what I thought. But I could not just think what the Holy Ghost was like. I never could contrive that. And no matter how I would try, I still couldn't do it. But this particular day, 1964 it was. Could have been January or February, some one of the times. I know it was very rough weather at the time in bad weather. And my father used to keep pigs and weed an orchard at the back of the house. John knows where it is down. It's a silo and all down beside it. Place like that. But it was an orchard. There was no silo there then. It was just an old shade. And my father used to run pigs in it. At the time of year, it would fence off and we'd put a gate on them and we'd run pigs in it, and then we'd call them in the evening to feed them. And the pigs, they had that place plowed up, just all hooked up. And it was real gutter hole. And I started walking. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was like out of it. I was like somebody that was in a trance. And I started to walk, and I walked. I didn't know where I was going to go, and I walked down. There's a lane down from, was down our lane, what we used to call the back lane. And an R lane down, what we call to the rocks. And I started to go down that lane. And there was a hole where cows had went through the hedge. And I went through, and I went into this orchard. And I walked down in this orchard. And I got down on my knees. And I had forgot about the prayer book. And I said to myself, Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the sins that ever I have done in my life. For I ask it in Jesus' name. You know something? It was like a peace come over me. It was like a calmness come over me. And you know, I know you can have emotion and you can have feelings. But you don't really base your faith on emotion. And you don't base it on feelings. Now you can have them. There's nothing wrong with them. But you base your faith on the written word of God. Amen. That's the only basis for faith, is God's written word. There's no other basis for faith. Not now and I might come in the night and say to you, oh yeah, this here's good, that's good, that's something else good, that's all right, that's only talk. But you really, your faith must be based upon the word of God. And you know, like a weight lifted on me. Now, I never really thought much about the devil. I never really thought much about him. I sort of done the things that wasn't right to do. But you know, it says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the people. It says he has blinded their eyes, lest they would reach through to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But you know, it's the work of the Holy Ghost to convict you of sin. That's what he said he would do when he would come. Jesus said to the disciples, like speaking, that I go away, for if I go not away, the Holy Ghost will not come. But he said, when the Holy Ghost, he says, I shall send you one, I shall send you a comforter. And when he is come, he will lead you into the truth. And he'll convict the world of sin. So it's the Holy Ghost that convicts you of sin. It's the finished work of Calvary and the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment you say, Lord, save me. Save me. Whenever you do that, really and sincerely, God saves you.
Amen.
And you know, I started, you know, then I began to realize it was a devil then. Remember as a young fella in school, the teacher read us a story about the madman in your tombs in Kedara. And how the devils were cast out, the Lord cast them out, and when he come along, and they went down into the swine that was grazing on the hill, and the swine ran violently down the hill. And you know, mind you, they didn't say there was a great deliverance. They said they besought the Lord that they would go out. They didn't want to hear anything about the Lord. They wanted the Lord away, for their gains was gone. And they were more interested in the things of the world and the word of the salvation of their souls. And they besought him to depart out of the country, but the devils didn't want to go out of the country, but they went into the swine. And the swine ran violently down the hill, were drowned. I could remember the teacher reading that story, Bible story, in school. And I asked the teacher a question. I said, where did those devils go? Oh, she said they went into the swine. Well, I said, where are they now? Oh, she says, I don't know. But I said, they have to be somewhere, don't they? She said, there's no such thing as that. There's no such thing as devils today. Why, she's not here now. But if she could be here now to see the nest of them that we have in the country, then she would know that there's such a thing as devils today. You know, well, I tell you, people may say, "Why, that's an awful thing to say in a gospel meeting. That's an awful thing to come out in a meeting to say that the country's full of devils." Well, who do you think's guiding the government? Satan. Who put it in them for to leave it that a man can marry a man and a woman can live with a woman?
Amen.
Who put it in them to do that?
Right.
Who put it in them to board the fruit of the womb?
Right.
Who's guiding them? It's not the Lord.
Right.
It's not God. God said in his word it's an abomination.
Amen.
For a man to lie down with a man to work that which is unseemly. And he said he would give them strong delusion so that they'd believe a lie, that they might be damned.
Yeah. Right.
Who's it put the idea in them that the women would destroy the fruit of their womb and they would abort their children? Why, that's not a new thing. Why, they've done that in old times in the Old Testament. You read it, and they made their children to pass through the fire to the god Moloch and Molem and so forth. And they worshipped the pagan gods. And God said, when you go in this land, you wipe them all out.
Yes.
Don't leave any of them, because if you leave any of them, you'll learn the ways of the heathen.
That's right.
But God doesn't want you to learn the ways of the heathen. God wants you to know the truth and to take your stand for the truth.
Amen.
We live in an evil time. We live in the days just before the coming of the Lord. It's a good thing to be ready. It's a good thing that there's mercy, still mercy.
Hallelujah.
You know, I want to say something tonight. You might think it's strange, but I'm going to tell you now. There's going to come a day when Jesus rises from the mercy seat. And when he rises from the mercy seat, there's no more mercy. It's judgment. And you don't want to meet the wrath of God. Do you know what the Bible says when it comes? It said all the great men and all the mighty men, they lamented when that city went down. When God destroyed that great city, Babylon, come into remembrance before him for the crimes that she committed and the seductions and the fornications and the witchcraft that she has worked, when she come into his memory and into God's mind for God's judgment. What did they do? They cried for the rocks and the mountains to cave. I tell you, it's coming. The Bible's real. The Bible's true.
Amen.
Even history proves the Bible's right.
Amen.
You know, whenever Saul was king, when Israel wanted a king, they wanted a king. They wanted to be like the nations around about them. And when they wanted to be like the nations round about them, Samuel didn't take it well, for Samuel was God's seer, God's prophet. And you know, he went to the Lord, and the Lord said, they haven't rejected you, they have rejected me.
That's right.
That's what he said.
That's right.
But you know, when Saul was crowned the king and they made him the king, you know, and Samuel told him to go and destroy the Amalekites. And you know, Saul went down and he didn't obey the Lord. because he took the sheep and he took some of the flocks and he brought back Amalek, or I just can't mind his name, Abimelech maybe it was. But he brought him back. And he brought him back, and then whenever Samuel didn't come down to sacrifice with him and he had waited and he didn't come, he put the ephod on himself. And he proceeded to sacrifice, and Samuel came down. And Samuel says to him, "What have you done?" And he said, "Have you executed the word of the Lord?" And he said, "I have executed the word of the Lord." Samuel said, "If you have executed the word of the Lord, what's this I hear? The bleating of the sheep." Do you know what Samuel said to him? "It's better to obey than to sacrifice."
Amen.
And Samuel turned from him. And he said to Samuel, "Oh, stay and sacrifice with me." For in front of all the people, he didn't want to be let down, that the prophet would turn and walk away from him. And he caught hold of Samuel by the skirt, and it rent. And Samuel said, "Thus saith the Lord, God hath rent the kingdom from thee." And Samuel took a sword and he hacked the king of the Amalekites. He slew him. You know, they didn't destroy all the nations that they were to destroy. And you know, there's good things in church history. You know, people sometimes think it's not that it doesn't really matter. Well, it doesn't really matter. But there's some good things in it. And you can go back and you can find in the early 1800s that a Jewish rabbi, the Spirit of God came on him and he began to prophesy. And he prophesied in Russia. And he prophesied for the Jews that were in Russia for to leave Russia. And he prophesied for the Jews that were in Germany for to leave Germany, because the Jews were rich people. God blessed Abraham. Whatever Abraham touched, it multiplied.
Amen.
Abraham would have been a millionaire this day. If he was living now, he still had more than a millionaire has now. I tell you, he hit some stuff. And you know, God prospered him. You know, God gave Abraham a blessing. We heard this morning about the three men. And you know, God said to Abraham, "Them that bless you, I'll bless them, and them that curse you, I'll curse them."
That's right. Amen.
And there it was, Abraham was, and God had to bless him. And this Jewish rabbi began to prophesy. And he said to them, "There will rise up an Amalek in Russia. And there will rise up an Amalek in Germany." And lots of the Jewish people that believed it emigrated to the United States. Lots of the German Jews emigrated to America. But Joe Stalin rose up and killed 50 million gypsies and Jews. 50 million he done. In Russia. Hitler killed 6 million Jews that we know about. Why, he did a list of all the Jews here in Northern Ireland. And he did a list of all the Jews in Southern Ireland. And you say, "Bro, what's that to do with my salvation?" It's to show you that spirit is against you. But it's also to show you that you can overcome the enemy. You can overcome the enemy, because the Bible says, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." Yes. And that spirit's alive and well tonight. You know, this might be taped, and I maybe shouldn't be saying what I'm going to say, but I'm going to have to say it. You have, I'll say it like this. You have Amalek Haman in England. So you can figure that out. You know, you had to be careful what you're saying on tapes nowadays. Somebody say, "Oh, man said such and such a thing." And they say, "Oh, he incited them people to tape it." But I haven't really got to the Armand sermon yet. But I'm going to get you a wee bit of it now. And I hope it blesses you. And I hope it encourages you. I hope it's standing to you. Now, I'm sure if this man could be here tonight, and would sit in our audience if he was here tonight and could be here tonight, which he's not, but if he could, I would sit down and ask him to come and speak to us. But he's not here. But I'm sure he won't mind me taking a bit of a sermon and presenting it to you. Now, if you can turn over to the book of Acts, and the second chapter in the book of Acts, and I'll begin to read about verse 14. And I'll give you his sermon. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 2, and I think I'll start at verse 14. This is, just bear with me, I'm not a great reader now, but it's easy to read this Bible for the writing's good and big enough. And he says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing that it is the third hour of the day. But this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out of my spirit in these days." Do you hear that, sister?
Amen.
Now you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't think you can't. You can. How do you get it? You obey God's word.
Amen.
We'll come to that now. And now he says, and says, "In those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come." Verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm glad for that tonight. Are you glad for that?
Amen.
Whosoever shall call. You know what a man said to me one day? He said, "How do you know you're saved?" Well, I said, "The Bible says if I call on the Lord, I'm saved."
Yes.
"Oh, but he says you might be sure, would you?" Oh, I said, "I'm very sure." And he looked at me. And I says, "The Bible says in Romans in the 10th chapter, maybe about the 11th verse, it says in the 10th chapter, I know that. Says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and if thou shalt believe in thy heart, that Jesus Christ, on the Lord Jesus Christ," he says, "thou shalt be saved." Do you know where Peter preached from here? He didn't have this New Testament that we have. You know where he preached from? He preached from Joel chapter 2. And he preached from the Old Testament. And he preached Christ from the Old Testament. Where did Philip preach from when he had joined on to the Ethiopian eunuch? He preached from Isaiah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he preached Christ to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch said, "Who does this man talking about?" He says, "Dost thou understand what thou readest?" And he says, "How can I accept someone guide me?" And he says, "Who is the man talking of himself or another?" And the Bible says he opened his mouth with the same scripture, and he preached unto him Christ.
Amen.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities.
Amen.
And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Hallelujah.
It's
finished. It's done. The price is paid. Someone told the story of a man, the time in the Civil War, and he was put in, and they put him in and they were going to kill him. Don't think there's much of his family left or that there. Someone got to Abraham Lincoln and they said to Abraham Lincoln, "Will you write him a pardon?" And he said, "I will." And he took a scrap of paper and he wrote on the scrap of paper that he was to be pardoned, not to be shot, and he was not to be pardoned, and signed his name, Abraham Lincoln. And they took it to him, and when he got it, he said, "I can't accept it. That's not a pardon." The man says, "It is. The president wrote it himself." And he said, "No, it can't be." He was expecting some big do or some big fancy paper or something. But the man's, the name was there. It's the name. There's no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby you must be saved. It's that name, the name of the Lord Jesus. His name. I said, "I know. I called on his name." just stuck with his head down. You know, I remember another religious devil come along one day and he said to me, "How do you know you're born again?" Oh, I said, "I know I'm born again. I was there when it happened."
Amen.
But I says there's no abbas about it. I said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" I received it when I got saved. I said to those people in the Bible professed salvation and didn't have it. You know, some people, Philip went down to Samaria and he preached unto them Christ. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord. The Holy Ghost hadn't come on them. And James and John or Peter and them came down and prayed for them. And the Holy Ghost came upon them and it said they spake with tongues and the various things that took place. You get in our place. You get in our... God's no respecter of persons. Peter was up praying and he wouldn't go down to eat with the Jews. Not for anything. How would he eat with Jews if he had come in here the night if it was way back then? We were Gentiles. He wouldn't have even wanted to come in with us. But God gave him a vision. And God said, "Don't you call that commoner unclean that I have plans." And then he went down to the house of Cornelius and he preached out. Cornelius fell down. He was going to worship Peter and Peter took him up and said, "See, you do that. I'm just a man like you." And he preached unto him Christ. And while he preached unto him Christ, the Holy Ghost fell upon them.
Amen.
In the house of Cornelius. And what happened? They spake with tongues and they prophesied. What did Peter say? "Can any man forbid water that these men be baptized?
Right.
For they have received the Holy Ghost like we did at the beginning."
Amen.
That's what he said. Mm-hmm. So you see, you can receive the Holy Ghost even before you're baptized.
Yes,
but if you obey the word of the Lord, if you act on God's word, Brother Branham said a very true thing. He said, God is obligated to his word. So if you obey the word, then God will give you the gift.
Amen.
I was just saying this morning to Guy, you know, about learning to swim. I'm sure most of you maybe can swim. But when, a few years from now, I did swim. But they say you learn, you never forget it, like you'll always be able to do it. But I doubt I wouldn't be able to do it too far. That's besides the point. But I can remember the first time. And I went in the pool and I bit about and I went below the water and I swallowed nearly half the pool of water. I was getting up and blowing my nose and rubbing my eyes and spitting water out. And I went on and this went on and this went on and on and on, but I didn't seem to be making any headway at swimming. Then I thought I'd go into the where the water was shallow and I could put my hands down and keep my chin above the water and when I'd let go my head would go right in down. This fellow was sitting over at the side of the pool and he got over and he come into the pool to me and he says to me, "What are you doing, boy?" He says, "I'm trying to swim." He says, "You'll never swim there." I says, "Why?" He says, "You're not in deep enough water." He says, "You need to come out of the water up to your neck." I says, "I don't want to get drowned." He says, "Are you afraid of the water?" I said, "No, I'm not afraid of the water." I says, "I'll jump in at the deep end, touch the bottom, come back up and catch the side." I said, "If you can do that," he says, "no reason you couldn't swim." He says, "Right, come on out here." He said to me, did you ever, a young fella, did you ever catch a quail? We used to cut hay down where Gary's living now in them rocks. I used to lift the flugs and take them to the well to see them swimming. It's only a lot. Threw them in to see them swimming. He says, "You ever see a frog swimming?" I says, "It did." He said, "Well, you just lie down in your face in the water. You'll not go beneath the water." He says, "You're struggling too much." He says, "Don't struggle anymore. Quit struggling." He says, "I tell you what, I'll hold my hand under your chin. Now lie down in the water," he said. "Face first, put your face in the water, lie down in it." Now I lay down and the next thing I know, I wasn't really swimming, but I was on the top of the water. Then I realized I was floating on the top. Says, "Now make the move like a frog," and I made the move like a frog, and this thing I moved out across the pool. I stayed in the pool all evening, didn't come out, so I was able to swim from one end of the pool to the other. Maybe not the best style of swimming, but I was able to do it. You know, sometimes, if you want a gift of God, like speaking in tongues, don't try too hard. Take the word. and you fulfill what that word says, and God's obligated to give you that gift, and you'll wait before God, you'll speak with tongues. That's God's word, that's not my word. Now listen very carefully. Where he said, let me read this on down now here. I better hurry myself up, for I'm keeping you too late now. It's gone test 7. Give me 5 minutes and I'll come to an end. Praise the Lord. I'll read this for cause it's good. And then he says, I'll go down and skip a verse here. And it says, I'll read the verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear the words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves know, also know. And it says, him being delivered by the determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken on wicked hands and have crucified and slain whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David spake concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because I will not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou hast made me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch God. For he is both dead and buried, and the sepulchre is with us unto this day. But therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath unto him, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Therefore, saying this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh cease corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, therefore we are witnesses, therefore being exalted, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith unto him, unto the Lord, sit thou on my right hand, and on my right hand, until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Therefore let all the house know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Amen. And now when they heard these things, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the Paul's men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that the truth?
Glory.
Do you believe it's the truth?
Amen.
If you believe it's the truth, you confess it's the truth.
Hallelujah.
And God's obligated to his word, remember that.
Amen.
He'll not back away from his word. If you meet the conditions of God's word, listen to what he says here in verse 39. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, to all as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Amen.
Boy, I want to tell you something this evening. Someone would come along and they'd say to you, that was only for the disciples. That was only for the apostles. But he said the promise is to who? To you, to your children's children, to all that are afar, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's the promise. That's your inheritance.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is the rest whereby ye shall cause it worry to rest. Hallelujah. This is it. Hallelujah. This is the quickening power that raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. This is the promise of eternal life. This is the baptism that gives you the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that gives eternal life. Hallelujah. Let me just go on quickly here for a set of closing 5 minutes now. That's it. I'll keep a word now. And in many other words did he testify. Did he testify and urge them, save yourselves from this onward generation. And they gladly received the word, were baptized the same day. It says they were added unto the church about 3,000 souls. And what did they do? The Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now,
amen.
There's another sermon connected there. There's a whole lot could be said tonight. But let me say this to you tonight. That's Peter's sermon. And it was Peter's sermon that I borrowed for tonight.
Amen.
And I'll tell you now, I don't think it would have been said, don't do it. But I know it's God's word. It's God's inspired word. For you know where he cometh from? He cometh from the Old Testament.
Amen.
And you know when Isaiah said, if you're dry, let me just quickly, let me go to Isaiah 1 minute here. If I can just get Isaiah, I'll just get, let me go over here a minute till I read you a verse from Isaiah, and I'll quick. Listen to this, 41. It's 44 on verse 3. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty.
Amen.
And floods upon the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed. And my blessing upon thine offspring. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Boy, that's some promise, isn't it? To pour his blessing upon your offspring. To bless you and to help you. And it says, and they shall spring up among the grass as the willows by the water course. Hallelujah!
Right.
It's in the wee hymn said, or the wee course said, if you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's ready to rain.
Right.
Hallelujah! Jesus said to the woman, if you drink of this well, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. Hallelujah! Read your Bible, pray. Just lay before the Lord. Say, Lord, if you want the gift, just ask the Lord for the gift. Just take the scripture and go before the Lord for it. You know, there's a great wee scripture in Matthew in chapter 7. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know what the Bible says? It says that we being evil know how to give gifts unto our children.
Right.
How much more will the Lord not give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
Amen.
Who does he give it to?
Amen.
He gives it to them that obey him. That's who he gives it to.
Amen.
Now I said I would quit. I'm going to quit. I'm long-winded. But I'll tell you something. Although I don't want to sound boastful, but I'm not near finished yet, you know. But I'm going to have to quit. For I know you have to go home. I understand that. But I want to say something to you. I want to say God bless you. God keep you. And God keep you in his word.
Amen.
And make straight paths before your feet. Just bow your heads for me. Father God, Lord, we know the desire of hearts tonight in this meeting. Lord, we believe it's the desire of every heart in this service tonight to have more of you. And Lord, we have read the truth. And you said that the promise was to our children, to all our far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And far we believe you have called us. We believe you have lifted us out of the dunghill and out of the miry clay. And you've set our feet on the King's highway. We pray for all those young people that have just recently accepted you as their Savior. And even for older ones too. And oh God, we just pray that the Spirit of God will come over them and overshadow them and quicken thy word to them. And Lord, we pray for every dear sister in this house tonight. God, we're not going to ask anybody to raise hands, or we're not going to ask them to come to the front. But Lord, Father, tonight we're going to ask you, Lord. Oh God, will you grant them the desires of their hearts, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Father God, I thank you for mercy. I thank you for grace. Bless thy people now. And bless thy word to our hearts. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise where it belongeth unto thee. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, I remember a young woman, and she wanted the baptism, and she wasn't sure whether she'd got the baptism or not. And she had prayed for it, and you know, was talked to her and counseled with her. Not, you don't really need to counsel with people if you give them God's word. If you give them the word and they receive the word, that word will bring forth fruit. It'll germinate, it's living. And you know, she went home, and in the middle of the night she wakened up stabbing in tongues in her bed. She's wakened up speaking in tongues. So you see, like, God can give you a gift. God can give you any gift that he wants. But you know, don't panic. And don't struggle. Didn't he say, launch out into the deep? Whenever Ezekiel seen that vision, he said there's water up to the knees. And there's water up to the waist. Then there was water to swim in. You know, people say, oh, you don't need that now. That was only for the disciples. Yes, the promise is unto you, to your children, to all our fathers, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I better put the coat on here. I'll put the coat on here before I come on the Lord. And normally I would have had the coat on. You'd think I was a horse that had run a race. So the coat would be sticking to me. But praise the Lord. I hope tonight you have been blessed. I hope you've got something. I hope you've got some food for your soul tonight. Now, you don't never combat the devil with physical force. Never try it. You'll not win if you do. Always combat him with the word.
Amen.
Combat the enemy every time with God's word. You know the thing that he fears the most? You know the weapon the devil fears the most? Outside of God's word. You know what it is? It's love. That's the one he fears the most. He fears love. You know the Bible says, pray for them that despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies.
Amen.
You know, always be a mild spirit. Always commit your way to the Lord every day. And the Lord will direct your path. Come on. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand our fingers, brother. First come, isn't the Lord good? Praise God. I tell you, when you get saved, you want to seek God for the Holy Ghost. You could get saved and get the Holy Ghost baptism all in the one evening. God can do that, and he has done it before. But it said, why Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. It can happen. And it's really real. It's really real, praise God. And I strongly believe there's no substitute for the secret place. For every Christian, you should have a secret place. Whether it's in your bedroom, or in your car, or somewhere, but you should have a secret place. That you go away, and there's nobody, only you and the Lord, and you pray in secret. Pray in secret. I'm a big believer in praying in secret. Make time to pray. And then God will do it. In the open. That's the word of God says. Praise God. It's so true. The Holy Ghost is so real. It helps you in so many ways. And the gifts of the Spirit. It's wonderful. And I just thank the word of God. For the word of God tonight. My dad. I was thinking, you know, the day. My dad's been preaching the gospel before any other one of us in here. Preaching it a long time ago. I tell you, God's good. And God showed me. If you can get three generations that'll serve God, there's a blessing comes on the third one automatically. And I can prove that from the Bible. I'm telling you, it's something really. God can do that. It's powerful really when you study it, how God does it. And they don't have to do a thing, they'll be blessed. They'll actually be blessed in life and everything. Almost like the Jews, God done it for them, didn't he? God done it for the Jews. And I don't mean they're not saved. They'll be saved, like. But it comes on them. And it comes on everyone that follows the Lord, doesn't it? Praise God. Yeah. Don't forget a Wednesday night. I know our brother's having us. I think that's the last week, isn't it, brother?
Yeah.
So there might be some people still at the tent mission, but for those that can't go, we're still going to have a service for the, whatever few can go. And if you want to go to the tent meeting, you're free. Go ahead. I'm going to try and maybe go myself tonight. And I'm all on for the tent mission. And I thank God people's got saved.
Amen.
Praise God. And it's really good to have a tent mission. And there's another man having a tent mission away over this side of the country. It's been a powerful year, it seems to be, for tent meetings. People's getting saved. God could be doing something. Amen. You don't know if it'll last or if it'll happen again. We don't know, but we trust God it will. But let's press in. Press into God. And don't forget our services. And our brother Andrew Beecham will be coming over as well at the end of this month to preach for us. Let's pray about that. And I'm thinking as well, maybe on a Sunday night here, just to spice it up a bit. If that's the right word, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not the right way to say it. But I'm thinking, you know, why could we not have somebody give a testimony here and advertise it? And have a short testimony and a short gospel message on a Sunday night. And make a big effort. And try and get people in. And if one or two come, wouldn't it be worth it? Let's pray about that. And let's see about that. And then I might ask somebody out of the blue, it could be any of us, to give a testimony. And the Word of God says, always be ready to give reason for the hope that lieth within you. Isn't that right? There's a sister I do want her to come and give her testimony. She was almost killed in a car and the angel of the Lord saved her. And she's crippled in a wheelchair. God raised her up and healed her. And I'm trusting she'll come some night. She's going to give her testimony here, but God's grace and her husband will preach. And there might be nothing to do with some of the circles, but we're not worried about circles. We're worried about the Lord. Amen. How many believes that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If they're born again, or my brother and sister, praise God. Yeah. The Lord bless you. Your brother's going to come because I don't want to take no time up. God bless everybody. Yes.
So, as the Lord bless, we're going to sing that little chorus.